Welcome back to the Gen Z Hockey Podcast with your Zahar and Lucas. So we have a lot of stuff to get through, but I want to say thank you to all our listeners because we're coming up onto 50 episodes and we actually have we still have listeners. So I'm thanks. So if you guys can share the podcast, like, rate us on Apple Music, because then we get more exposure and then more people listen. So thanks to everyone listening, continue listening. We're still doing podcasts every week, depending on how our schedule is. We're going to be doing 2 episodes a week. So yeah, let's get into it. Maple Leafs are playing tonight versus Montreal, but they played the last 2 games versus Vancouver and they just absolutely destroyed them. So
they destroyed them in the first game. The second game, Vancouver was definitely a lot stronger.
Yeah. In the second game was a bit more nerve wracking. Just watching the game because
the Leafs,
yeah,
like let's just be honest.
Yeah, they play like shit for 2 periods and then somehow
and then scored. In the third period they just took over.
Yeah, they woke up and they're like, okay, boys, we can't lose to this team, and yeah, so it was the 7-3 game was fun to watch. Was 7-3?
No, that was a 5-1 game. Was the 5-1 game was Saturday?
Yeah, 5-1 game was fun to watch. Everyone got a point. Wayne Simmons
broke his arm.
Yeah, Wayne Simmons.
Son of a bitch. Like, wasn't that just such a nothing play? And of course it has to be Wayne Simmons. Like, he's been having an amazing season. Yeah. I just want to point out, someone on this podcast was right about Wayne Simmons. I don't want to say who it was, but it was someone. And how he was going to have a resurgence. And that person was right. And of course he breaks his arm breaks his hand, because that's just how it works.
So I'll
you
give
do
half...
well, you do bad.
Yeah, yeah. You get half credit for that. But yeah, he's going to be out for 6 weeks. So that's going to be about 20 games. So that's basically like half the season, which sucks. But like, what are you going to do? Joe Thornton was skating back on the ice.
Robertson looks like he's coming back soon.
Yeah, Robertson's coming, looking good. Dermott's coming. I think he's playing, or he's available to come back because he's feeling better or whatever. So we're getting our players back. We have a lot more players injured. It's one comes from LTR and then another gets injured, and hopefully there aren't any more injuries. But
I want to show you something. Is this not crazy that Austin Matthews has 10 goals in his last 8 games and has scored a goal in every single one of his games?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he has like for the last 8 games, he scored a goal. So he has 8.
Yeah, he scored a goal in every game in the last 8 games and has 10 goals and 1 assist. But you know, whatever. Yeah. But how insane is that? Remember when people said he had a slow start and that he was having a shitty season?
Well, he did have a slow, like the first couple of games, like he wasn't scoring. Like he did have a slow start. Like you can't. Like
by his measures,
yeah, by his metrics he had a slow start, but it's also like you're getting your legs in. Like I want to consider like the first maybe 3-4 games of the season to like count. They do count, but they don't really count because everyone was trying to get their legs under them. Like that was when we had that terrible Ottawa game, the first Montreal, like the first home opener was just sloppy across the board, and
that's why I can't wait for tonight.
Yeah, it's gonna be okay. So yeah, so tonight it's Montreal versus Toronto in Montreal, I think.
No, so I think we're I think we're in Montreal tonight, yeah. And then Saturday we're back home.
Yeah. So and then we play Ottawa after that. So this is like every game.
Hey, Leafs, can you please beat the Senators?
Yeah, that too. Every game against Montreal is actually gonna matter because it's Montreal versus Toronto for the first spot, and if you lose to like, let's say we lose like 6 games to Montreal, then they automatically have more points than us and there's no way of like catching up to them. So every game against Montreal matters, and we have to have like be putting up lots of points and scoring, because their scoring is bonkers right now and they're scoring a lot of goals. They did lose to Ottawa though, so
see.
So Ottawa,
it's not that easy.
Ottawa can only beat the best teams, mm-hmm. and that's how it works.
And the thing is, as a Leaf fan, and I'm sure on the for a Montreal Canadiens fan, is it not great that both of the teams are so fantastic at the same time, and that we're not just watching, you know, the 15th place team take on the 12th place team?
Yeah.
And it's just sloppy, shitty team. Like, they're both the best team in Canada. There's no question.
Yeah.
Sorry about the other five teams. They're the best. And it's the oldest rivalry in hockey. And yeah. I'm so happy for it and so excited to see it. Cause I don't want to jinx the Leafs, because they're the Leafs and they'll always find a way to screw up your mentality. But this could be a playoff run. This could be the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah. Depending.
And it'll be the first time they play each other in the playoffs since 67.
Yeah. So it could, yeah, it's, if everything goes like the way we think it's going to go, this might be the second round of the playoffs. Hopefully. Winnipeg, if Hellebuck gets hot, then I could see a scenario where they're in the second round. If we finish first and then Montreal finishes second against Winnipeg, like that's going to be a shit show either way. So like whatever happens in this, if you're in first, you're going to get an easy opponent. If you're in second, you're going to get a harder opponent because it's going to be,
and here's why I disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you. Cause if Edmonton gets that fourth spot, you want to play McDavid in the first, in the playoffs.
Yes. They couldn't beat Chicago. They couldn't beat Chicago. And that was a five-game series. And they couldn't
lost,
even...
They lost in four. Still lost.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, we lost in even... five. We lost in five. I'm not saying that, yes, that's any less. No.
I'm saying that they couldn't even bring it to five games. And their goaltending is literally like just...
The exact same as it was last year.
Exactly. So goaltending-wise...
See that Adam Larson better. Scored in his own net.
Defensively, they're not. Yeah, I saw that. Defensively, they're not better. They have Tyson Barrie. Didn't he have a hat trick against Ottawa? Or
Tyson Barrie had a hat trick. I think he might have gotten like a couple points, but like
a couple points.
Everything I'm seeing out of Tyson Barrie is exactly what I saw out of him in the last when he was playing for the Leafs.
Yeah, exactly. So like he didn't change. And then offensively, it's McDavid and Draisaitl, and like in a playoff series, you have to have more than two weapons. And Freddie looks really good.
I'm looking at the box score. Edmonton won 3-1 against Ottawa, and Barrie had 0 points. So I don't know where you got a hat trick from.
I swear I saw on a post somewhere that like Tyson Barrie has like 3 points tonight or something like that.
Was not the Ottawa game because I just looked at it. He didn't get.
I swear I saw a photo game. About. Okay, whatever. I thought it was that game, but, yeah, it's. I'm not like, the way
I haven't been convinced by them either. I haven't been convinced by them either.
Exactly. So like I'm not really worried about them. Just saying that. Like I understand that they have McDavid and Draisaitl, but they have no one else. Like that's the thing.
They got Josh Archibald. They got Dominic Cahoon.
Exactly.
They got Darnell Nurse. I like Darnell Nurse. But
and then
you're right. You're 100% right.
If we're talking about like the other Alberta team, Calgary, all their big boys never show up in the playoffs.
Never.
Exactly. So I'm not really worried about them. And then Vancouver, the way it's going, it doesn't look like they're going to be in that fourth spot. I don't see
Vancouver making it.
Exactly. So like,
McDavid was so good in that Chicago series, but he was the only player that decided to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I mean, I think you have to factor into that series the fact that they were coming off of like, what was it, 5 months of no hockey. I think that is a bit of factor to it.
It is Chicago. They're actually apparently they're
Chicago
good this year.
Came off of that too. Oh my god, I'm trying to defend the Oilers, but I can't find any defense for it.
You can't like
damn, you're right.
If you're okay, let's say you put McDavid and Draisaitl on one line. We have Matthews and Marner on one line, and then we have Tavares, Nylander on another line. One of the lines cancels out, and therefore we have another line that can actually put up points. And
we actually beat. I'm pretty sure didn't we beat the Oilers without Matthews one game? I think we did.
Yeah.
It was one of the it was
like the early, it was yeah it was like the third or fourth game of the season. But like, we can do, like, we can play in a, and defensively we're a lot better this season. So
when did that happen? I don't know. But
I think it's Sheldon Keefe actually like having time to like get the players together and having a proper like off season and then having a proper like
practice
training camp and practices and all that stuff to get like their team in shape, because like they kind of had a thing before the bubble, but it also really wasn't, and like it was this kind of like mush mash of like teams and players and stuff like that. So now he has like his crews together,
and I want to shout out someone who's done a great job. Hasn't Manny Malhotra just completely shaped up that power play?
Yes. Now we have two power plays that can actually put up points, not like last year where we only had one power play that wasn't that great, but it was loaded.
I mean, every time the Leafs get a power play now, I'm like, the puck's going in the net at least once. Because I think they had a stretch where they literally had like seven games with a power play goal, seven straight games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, you know, with the Wayne Simmonds injury, they're going to have to find someone else to fill in that spot. But that power play looks fantastic. Another thing that, aren't you noticing that the forwards are like, you know, oh, let's back check now. Let's play defense.
Yeah.
Matthews has become such a better defensive player. And I've noticed that so much. He's such a good back checker now. He's using his body finally. And the forwards are playing defense. And also you have capable NHL defensemen, not named Cody Ceci.
Yeah, that's great.
So to say my point, I'm looking forward to the Montreal game that we talked about the Oilers for some reason.
Yeah. So this is just bonkers. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl both have... Okay, so Connor McDavid has 27 points. Leon Draisaitl has 25 points. And closest is Mitch Marner with 21.
Jeez. Aren't they both on place for like... On pace for like 100 points in 56 games?
Yeah, something like
Get
that.
Get the fudge out of here. Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's wild.
When you get bounced in the first round, don't come crying to me. When the Leafs bounce in the first round. that's the Leafs. They play. Yeah, they look amazing. I'm looking forward to tonight. Oh, good for him.
He got Mikhaev down the assist, which he needed. Yeah, Mikhaev, yeah. Hopefully that third line like finds some stability and starts putting up points, because they have not been putting up points. And that's the only thing I was really worried about. The fourth line looks great. I have no complaints. Second line, I have no complaints. It's that third line. Every time they go off onto the ice, I get like, this is not going to be good. Or like, they're not.
I don't mind them playing defense. It's just when they get into the offensive zone. That's what I mean. We'll just not really. We're just going to, you know, wait for the big boys to come out. Yeah. But I know that a lot of people are hard on the third line, but I'd rather have a third line that's liable, that's a liability in the offensive zone, than one that's a liability in the defensive zone.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
But didn't they, like, I don't know, like, where the stat was from, but, like, they let up, like, 15 shots. Like, they let a lot of shots go, like, in the, like, they let a lot of shots on net. Yeah, in one of the games, they were letting, like, they let 12 shots on Freddie. So, like, defensively, they're not great, but
aren't we 13 games in? I know it's a 56 game season, but I have a feeling like the season is sort of in that young stage. I think the season's still kind of young.
Yeah,
I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, hopefully they'll figure it out. Okay, so we have a bunch of other stuff to get to across the league, but I want to talk about how the NHL will never become a mainstream sport because of this dumb thing. So, Carolina against Columbus. Carolina Hurricanes against the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's the end of the first period, about the end of the first period. And the Columbus, the Hurricanes score a goal. Columbus challenges that goal because it was offside. And or they thought it was offside. So then the referees go to the control room to go talk to the headquarters in Toronto, I'm assuming, Toronto. Or New York or whatever.
Yes, it's Toronto. It's Toronto.
Toronto. And they get the or someone on the speaker tells them, oh, that's a good goal. So the referees continue on and go back to ice and be like, oh, that's a good goal. And penalty for
Columbus for delay of game.
Yeah, for delay of game. So then they play like 45 seconds of the penalty, and then they go into like, it was the end of the period. So they went back to their dressing rooms, and they come out of the dressing rooms and there's no penalty anymore. They got rid of it. So everyone just kind of continues going on with the game, and no one really gets a good explanation until after the game. And so what happened was that someone, a third, not third party, but like someone that's not the control room in Toronto, decided to speak up on behalf of the control room in Toronto, and ended up saying that it's a good goal when it wasn't a good goal and it was clearly offside. So, yeah. And instead of either going completely in one direction, the NHL decided to go halfway and kind of just make everything even more complicated than it had to be. So, yeah, Lucas, what is your opinion on this? How
are you feeling? If you have a rule, stay with your rule. If someone fucked up, someone did fuck up. I know that this happened. It was something along the lines of like this trainee had something to do with it.
So you know who it was? It was the guy. Okay, so the refs request like a file, or Toronto wants them to see this footage of the goal not going in. So that trainee has to be listening, but has to have his mic on silent, and he's the one that transfers over the files and like points of view to the iPad, and he did not have his mic off. He had it on, and instead of just like not saying anything, he said, oh, that's a good goal, and the refs don't question it, don't even like take a look at it, just be like, yep, that's a good goal, and
the refs didn't know. The refs didn't know that this was just some guy. That this was just some guy who's like a trainee who's like on his first first week on the job. And okay, a little part of me is mad at his boss for not just being like, oh, don't listen to that. That's just some guy who's just like, he's just some guy. It doesn't matter.
I'm a little pissed off at the ref. Does the ref not question it? Like, he has the footage in front of him. Like, I think there is one where it looks like it's onside, but then there's three different other angles.
Why would you look at only one angle?
Exactly. That's my thing is, and you're not going to question, like, you're not going to question that. Like, you see that it's a no goal, but Toronto tells you that it's a good goal. You're not going to question that. Like, and it's also the NHL's fault for like not going the entire, okay. So either you give them the penalty and you force them to kill it off, or you cancel the penalty and then backtrack to before the goal was scored and take away the goal.
But the thing is, you can't do that. Sadly, you can't do that because there was an intermission, because it was scored with like less than whatever a minute left. I don't really think you can do like, you know, a 2:45 period.
You can. That's what they do. It's when, I don't know if you've seen this, but I think there was a couple of games where like either the ice fell out of like the like thing, like out of the,
I mean, the boards, like the glass fell out of the
boards. So the glass fell out of the boards, and there was like a minute 30 left in the period. And they're like, okay, whatever, just go to the dressing rooms and then we'll change it. And then once we come back, it'll be like a 21 minute period. Like,
I mean, I guess you could do that. But just the fact that they just backtracked and was like, oh, sorry. Like, and if I'm Rod Brendamore, if I'm the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, I'm going, what? You can just do that? You can just make up your own rules?
So, no, my thing
you,
is like...
Do you know why your league, no one watches you except for the passionate fans like us? No one casually watches an NHL game anymore.
Yes, because it's way too complicated. I think after this, I think they should just get rid of offsides.
No.
Just get rid of the blue line. Because
what, okay, why are you being difficult? Why are you being difficult?
I'm not being difficult. I'm being realistic. Basketball doesn't have a blue line, and they are doing just fine.
You can't, no. Don't get rid of offsides. Get rid of your stupid review system. Get rid of your review system. Keep the offsides. However, get rid of your idiotic review system where we can go back 50 seconds to where this guy might have gone over the line, and we can go back 50 seconds in time. Unless it was on the rush that scored the goal, you can't review the play. That's how it should, if it changed possession, you can't review the play. That's how it should be. Get rid of your stupid review system. There's my problem.
Problem, you know how you saw that problem? Get rid of the blue line completely.
No!
Why?
Because everyone grew up with offsides. Everyone learned how to play with offsides. If you learn how to play with offsides, you should know how to do an offside. And if you're offside, well, we're going to go back. Unless it goes over like 5 seconds. You should not be able to review something if it changed possession a couple of times.
So what you're saying is like, okay, so once it enters the zone and it's in the zone for longer than 30 seconds or 10 seconds.
Ten seconds max. 10 seconds, like if you have possession.
See,
if you have possession for 10 seconds, go then fine.
Yes, but that brings up a whole nother issue: is if a team, saw like they get scored on, they're going to be going looking back on the clock and being like, "Oh, was it 10 seconds?"
I know, and that's why their review system is just so stupid.
This is a no-win situation. That's what it is.
I know, but the NHL has made it so complicated to the point where I don't even know as a casual fan. How many times do you see like a maybe play?
Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it completely.
No, that's dumb. To me, that's dumb, is getting rid of offside. Getting rid of offsides would be dumb. And the reason why you think that
getting
is
because you've only been
watching for like 5 years.
No, getting rid of offsides would make it great. Because
why? How would that be good?
Because if there was Kasperi Kapanen, we would have lots of breakaways. And it would just be more fun to watch. What do you mean why? Because, okay,
you're just going to have someone cherry picking the whole time? That's not hockey.
You can't cherry pick the entire time because then the other team's just going to have a 5-on-4.
No. I refuse to watch. I would refuse to watch an NHL that didn't have blue lines. I'm being realistic. I doubt that.
You'd still watch. You'd still watch.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't know how the game works. I wouldn't know how the game works. I really wouldn't. Because all I know is offsides. All I know is, you know, the offside rule. Stay onside. It's not that difficult to just stay onside. And if it's a maybe play at the blue line, then okay, and then maybe play on the blue line that leads to a goal on that rush, I have no problem reviewing it. However, once that, you know, maybe play on the blue line happens, and then we go through like this cycle, and then we try to change possession, and then we cycle again, and then like a minute has gone by, oh, and now we're gonna review it. It's like, fuck. Then what was the point of that?
I think this is a no-win situation.
It is.
That's what it is. Also, the NHL needs to figure out, like,
I just don't like how the NHL was like, oh, that we made that penalty specifically so that teams wouldn't challenge things that were unnecessary, and so they screwed up, the NHL did, or the refs did. Then you know what you do? You keep with your screw up and you keep with the rule. Sorry, Columbus. Sorry, John Tortorella. You have to kill off this penalty.
Yeah, that's my issue with it. Is either you don't go halfway. You either go completely to one side or you go completely to the other side. You either completely remove everything, which is a penalty and then the goal, or you go the other way where you don't remove anything. And I think they should have just either not removed anything or removed everything. Like,
I'm sorry, there's if you counted the goal and said it was not offside, I'm sorry, John Tortorella, you're killing off this penalty.
Exactly.
And then if I'm Carolina, I'm saying, wait, I didn't get a penalty because you screwed up. Fuck you. That's not happening.
Exactly. So like so the game did end with a one goal difference, which like you could blame on like this call, but it's also like they had an entire like 40 more minutes to play. So like you can't like it's like this, but they did end in a one goal difference. So you could blame it on that being like, oh, that's the goal that made the difference from overtime or just us winning. So I don't know. I think the NHL is just dumb because they didn't just do either one, like either go completely in one direction or go completely in the other direction. Don't do this.
I agree with you. I don't think we should take away. We shouldn't take away offsides. I know you want to, but I don't think we should.
I'm just trying to get you pissed off.
Thanks. It's working. What we should do is stick with one side.
Yeah.
Either you count the goal and then they have to kill off a penalty. And I'm sorry, Torts. You can yell at me all you want, but that's just what it is. We didn't count the goal and you get your timeout back and no penalty.
Yeah.
So in this case, we counted the goal. Sorry, you're killing off the penalty. That's what I'm preaching. And that's what I think is the right thing. Now,
so
looks like we're going to stay with the Columbus Blue Jackets for our next segment. Yeah,
talking about Torts, he bench lining for the third period in the game against
how many games did it take?
I think. It was Carolina.
It was Carolina again.
It was the game after.
But it was the next game.
How many
days did it take? It took like three games.
Three to four games, I think. Here, let me find the
game. So I have the article on Sportsnet.ca, which Sportsnet, a network you can trust other than another network that I'm going to get to in a second.
Yeah, we have to talk about that. That's a whole other issue, but continue.
So Patrick Laine reportedly mouthed off, in quotes, to an assistant coach before his benching in Monday's win over Carolina, according to Brian Hedger of the Chicago Dispatch. Aaron Portsline, who everyone should follow on Twitter, he's a fantastic reporter for the Columbus. Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, independently verified Hedger's reporting, writing that Laine verbally disrespected a member of the coaching staff. Laine was benched for the final 26 minutes of Monday's game, but no reason was given by the team. And his post-game availability, head coach Tortorella said the situation is going to stay in-house.
Okay, Laine played 5 games. He has 5 goals and 1 assist.
I don't think that's all with. I don't think that's all with Columbus. I think that's because he played a couple of games with the Jets.
No, that's with Columbus.
Are you shitting me?
Oh wait, no, sorry.
Yeah. He's
played 4 games with.
Short time in Columbus so far for Patty Laine.
He played 4 games. He has 3 goals, which isn't bad. Like.
Okay. It's what he does. I thought that when I originally thought that everyone was all like, oh, you know, he didn't block shots well enough. He wasn't back checking enough. And that's why Torts benched him. It seems like Patty really disrespected someone. It seems like he really did not say something kindly to an assistant.
Which is interesting because it's literally like it hasn't even been a week. And this guy
he doesn't even know this guy, and he's calling him exactly, whatever.
Yeah. Like, and you're the new guy in the room. Like, if I was the new guy in the room, I would just shut up and just do whatever they want me to do. Like, I would not be trying to start fights and arguments, even if I'm pissed off. Like, even if I hate the coach, it's my first week. Like, I can't just come in there and just be a shit disturber.
And Cam Atkinson, who's now one of his teammates, said something about Laine that it was something along the lines of, like, if you don't give 100%, you shouldn't be here. Something like that. I can't seem to find the quote, but I don't.
Yeah.
But it seems like from Cam Atkinson's perspective that it's not a John Tortorella thing. It is a Patrick Laine sort of situation that he'd
is Patrick Laine the issue? Because in Winnipeg, apparently he wasn't the issue. It was everyone else about Laine's attitude. But now he came to Columbus, and I said this. I'm like, if Columbus isn't good, he's gonna get traded again at the deadline. So if he's beefing with the coach four games in, or the assistant coach or whoever it was, if he's arguing with them four games in, how is this going to look at 10 games, 20 games? Like, is Laine just not happy anywhere he go, or he tries to find problems where anywhere he goes? I don't know how much you can blame Laine for this, or like just the situation he's in, or where he's like, I don't understand why he's like just trying to be such a shit disturber. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what like his like problems with everyone is. Like, I don't understand.
Like... But dude, you've been there a week. You've been there literally a week, and people are all, and you're already mouthing off at people. You're not their buddy. I'm sorry, dude. Like, yeah. You're not, this is not someone that you've known for a couple of years. This is someone who you just met, and apparently you're mouthing off to an assistant coach that you don't even know. I heard this from, I think it was one of Steve's LFRs, one of the most recent ones, where he was talking about how like Braden Holtby was given some guy like the cold shoulder after.
Yeah.
Remember when Braden Holtby, he literally turned over the puck to Austin Matthews.
Yeah. It wasn't the cold shoulder. He literally just gave the puck. He's like,
and he gave him like the death spit stare. And I'm just like, dude, you just got here. I know that you're Braden Holtby, you have a Stanley Cup pedigree and everything. You just got here, my friend.
Yeah.
You don't know this guy, and he's not there to take care of your mistakes. Patrick Laine is off calling people names, calling assistant coach names, coaches names, and you've barely been there, dude. Like, that's not a good look on Patrick Laine. It really isn't.
Like, it's not, and he got benched for like 27 minutes. So that's almost half the game.
I hope he learns from this. I really hope he learns from this.
I don't know if he will, because in Winnipeg, I don't know if there was the same issue, but it kind of seemed like I don't know if he's the problem or people just didn't like him. But he comes to Columbus, and then he's also being a pain in the ass of the coaches. So I don't know. We'll see.
Coaches, and now it seems, and now with what Cam Atkinson said, it was something along the lines of Cam Atkinson didn't have a nice thing to say about Patrick Laine for that incident.
Yeah.
So now he's already rubbed his players the wrong way.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see how this plays out, or how this turns out. If this continues going and he has more benching, I could see him getting traded again, which is not going to look good on Patrick Laine. Roslovic looks really good for them.
What a fucking goal that was.
Yeah, he's disgusting. So I think from what it looks now, Columbus won the trade if Laine somehow gets his shit together. Pierre-Luc Dubois played his first game in Winnipeg against Calgary. There you go.
It was in Calgary. You were kind of right. It was in Calgary.
He was held off the score sheet, but he looked like he put an effort. I was watching highlights from last night. So he looks like he's putting up effort. He looks like he's actually wants to play there. So hopefully he turns out good and puts up some points.
I wish both players the best of luck. I'm just saying, God, how old is Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews? Like 24, 25, someone like that?
No, younger.
We'll say younger. Jesus. Are they still babies? Like, okay, we'll say 23. We'll say 23. I know that you're basically 22. God, aren't we getting old? Jesus. I am not a mature person, and I know that because I'm 19. You're 20. Like, we're not mature adults. These people get paid millions of dollars to play hockey, and I don't care how immature you are. You have to have a sense of maturity to play the sport and to interact with these people. Patrick Laine has to improve his maturity right now. If he's gonna play for the Columbus
Blue Jackets. I don't know. It could be maturity, but it could also just be like, that he's like, he thinks he's just better than everyone else and just doesn't give a fuck about what other people are. I understand. Yeah, I guess he's being immature, but also like, but it's, yeah, it's immature, but it's also like, you know that you're better than everyone else, so why should like you listen to anyone?
That's being immature. I'm sorry. That's the definition of being immature.
Yeah, I guess
not listening to someone because it's the definition of someone who is immature.
Yeah.
Like if you were to come up to me for like a school project,
yeah,
like I want you to do this, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that because want to know why? I can write a better article than you. There's no.
You're just a douchebag at that point. Like,
exactly. You want to know why? Because I'm a better writer than you, so I don't have to listen to what you say. No, you do, because this is a team. This is a team. We're trying to win a Stanley Cup, dude. Like, I don't care if you think you're better than me. We're all one team. We all have to work together. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how this turns out. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. If Patrick Laine gets traded away, he's not gonna be making any money. Like he's gonna be making a lot less than what he expected to make this offseason. So we'll see. They said that they want a long term relationship with Patrick Laine. Columbus wants like a long term relationship. We'll see how that goes because it's five games in.
Maybe you don't after this.
It's five games in and you guys can't be on the same page. And that's really disappointing because Dubois is in Winnipeg. He's like taking photos, chatting up with all the guys. And he looks like he's having a good time. So hopefully
he's being a good team guy. He is being a good team guy and not making it all about himself.
Yeah. Okay. So what was that one thing you wanted to talk about? Crap.
Oh, I wanted to leave that to the end. I wanted to leave that to the end because I did some mega research on the Bell layoffs, but I guess we can do it.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about Pittsburgh and then we can just go shit on the other, the company. So Pittsburgh hires Ron Hextall and Brian Burke to their front office. So
very surprising. That's the first thing I thought of.
So the whole Ron Hextall was like in the conversation and like you could hear the names in the
rumors. I never heard Brian Burke's name once.
No, I'm talking about Ron Hextall. Like he was in the rumor mill, but Brian Burke just came out of left field. Like Lucas texted me.
You could tell in Elliot Friedman's tweet.
Yeah. Like he was so surprised. Like, which
in
is like
Elliot Friedman's tweet. He was like, oh, and it looks like Brian Burke's going to be the president.
Yeah. So yeah, it's wild that it just came out of left field. You literally messaged me. I was like doing an assignment or whatever, and then like you messaged me, and you're like, "Oh, Brian Burke," and I'm like, "What the? When did this happen? Or like when? No one called this. No one was talking about it. Like, I listened to like a couple podcasts, and no one was saying this as like an option for Brian Burke, which is wild.
I really thought he was having a lot of fun doing his Sportsnet gigs.
Yeah, and
I thought he was enjoying it, and I didn't think he was gonna want to go back to the NHL, but hey, good for him.
Yeah, he loved pissing off Leafs fans, and now he gets
you
to
in
go,
particular.
Yeah, like Brian Burke, like I know he's smart and all this, but like some of his takes is just they give me headaches. Like the whole Nylander thing, like he still can't let go of the whole Nylander thing, and that's why like Nylander is good and he's putting up points and he's playing really well. They're all basically a point of game player and yet he just does not like him. So
I'm so glad you brought up Nylander. Can I just say I am so sick of anyone name into any sort of trade discussion. They wanted to trade, people say that Nylander should be traded straight up for Sam Bennett because apparently they're the exact same player.
I saw that Sam Bennett can go stay in Calgary. We don't need him here.
God. Why is it that when anyone is rumored, it's Nylander's going to be traded for him? It's Sam.
Yeah.
He's a nothing player.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand why we have to be the vacuum, as Adam Wilde said, of the NHL. And hopefully we won't, because I don't think Kyle Dubas will ever actually go get Sam Bennett. And hopefully he won't, because I don't want to get rid of any of the players we have right now. So,
me neither. I would be opposed to it. I would definitely be opposed to it.
So back to the Pittsburgh thing is, I messaged Lucas yesterday and I'm like, they're kind of jumping onto a sinking ship.
Yeah.
So like that's because Jesus, what was their past head general manager? One second. Jim Rutherford.
Oh, Rutherford.
Yeah. So Jim Rutherford kind of just like made this team not very good. And then he's like, peace, I'm out. And now Brian Burke and then Ron Hextall has to like, they have to kind of rebuild. Like they have to rebuild on the fly while still trying to be good, which is something that isn't easy to do.
What's interesting for me is, Brian Burke in his book, my dad read his book. He's had a lot of downtime, so my dad's reading all these hockey books, and it's cool. So he read Berkey's Law, and I go into an interview for a GM job or for any job, and I say, I don't care who you are. I am having two hands on the goddamn wheel, and that's all. And yeah. I am handling everything. Yeah. So my whole thing is, if that's Brian Burke's mentality, what the fuck is Ron Hextall doing there?
Yeah. Because, so is Ron Hextall's GM, right? Yeah.
So Ron Hextall got the GM job, and then Brian Burke got the president job. So Ron Hextall is Dubas. Ron Hextall is Dubas. Brian Burke is Shanahan. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could also be like they're working like side by side. So like,
I assume that's what it is. But yeah, when Brian Burke was GM here, he had president and GM in his title, so he was both.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's had that title, I think, in Vancouver and also I think in Anaheim. When he was in Calgary, he was only the president, and then Brad Treliving was the GM.
Yeah,
so he's had an experience. Oh,
frozen. What? Okay, you were saying something about Brian Burke and him being GM and president.
So Burke has experience of just being the president and then having someone else be the GM.
Yeah.
I want to assume that since he's had, how long has it been since he's been away from, it was like 2018 is when he started at Sportsnet. So he's been away from that part of the game for about 3 years, maybe 4 years. So he's had a little time to step away from the game, and good for him. So I want to be optimistic and think that he's going to work well with Ron Hextall. They're going to be sort of this 1-2 punch together and bring this team. But people are talking about, like, is this the time for Pittsburgh to rebuild?
Yeah. And like that's the whole thing where did he get permission to like to trade Malkin or Letang or Sidney Crosby, God forbid. I don't understand why you'd trade him, but like
Montreal Canadiens, and I wanted to fucking kill him.
That'd be pretty funny, but
not for me.
Yeah, not for you. But if you went to Montreal, that'd be pretty funny of thing. But I don't know. Like it's we'll have to see, depending on how they move, what players they
we'll
move.
Just have to see. It's just, I was so shocked at the fact that it was Brian Burke, because he hasn't been a part of that for so long. And he's been up here in the panel for 3 years. So I'm very interested in how he's gonna work this and how he's gonna be a part of this. And it's gonna be great, because now Sportsnet has an end to the Pittsburgh Penguins organization, and it'll be a fun time.
It's not, no, but okay. That's not how it works, but okay.
Okay. That's not how businesses work. Oh,
no, that's not how it works. You can't get former employees to just randomly think. Okay.
Yeah, I have like links and okay.
Yeah, okay. So moving on from
I have like links and like pages to go to.
Yeah, okay. So moving on from the Penguins, Bell being the company that really truly represents Bell Let's Talk, decided to fire a couple, actually I don't know. I actually don't know how much. Lucas has
over 280 people.
Yes. So they're all about Bell Let's Talk, and they fired 250 people. Also, they fired Dan O'Toole from, God damn it, what was this show?
Jay and Dan from Jay and Dan.
Yeah, Jay and Dan. There you go. Yeah, they just fired him without any notice, without anything. And he's just online being like, thanks for the bit run. Thanks for like what you guys did for us. And then he was fired without notice, without anything. And yeah, so Lucas has more on that. So Lucas, take it away.
I was just in shock. I was completely like, I was so insanely shocked at the fact that this happened. I really was.
It also came out of the blue.
I watched.
There were no warning.
Oh, so out of the blue.
No warning, fire, no 2 week notices, no nothing. It just came out of the blue. And it was like really weird.
It was so freaking weird, dude. So like, this is what made it so weird is because my page isn't loading. And of course that's happening. But the reason why it was so weird is because Jay and Dan have been a staple of TSN for better decade and a half.
Yeah.
There were times I watched Jay and Dan when they were at their peak before they went to Fox Sports One, when they were at SportsCenter, and their comedy and their teamwork and their chemistry was better than network TV at some points.
Yeah.
Legit, their thing was better than network TV. Like, I'd rather watch them than watch friggin' Bazinga Sheldon Cooper for the next billionth time.
Yeah.
And
it's also
to have him.
It was nice to have it was them, and then it was Tim and Sid. And it was kind of like having two like competing stuff where both of those shows were entertaining and fun to watch, and like
Tim and Sid, yeah,
and it was like this competition between like two hosts, and like if you like watch them, they were completely different, but they were both like funny and like fun to watch, and like they were entertaining. And Canada needs more sports TV of just Canadians being Canadians and talking to Canada across the board. And Tim and Sid is moving on to breakfast television, and then they got rid of Dan. So like it's the landscape is changing in Canada, and I've been told this in university because we go to media studies together, that like Canadian television and stuff like that is not going to be able to keep up with American and like just the American influence. And this stuff doesn't help because this is going to force more Canadians to watch American like news, American like talk show hosts, talk shows, which isn't good. Like, we should have more Canadian. And Bell just effed so many people over. I heard that they canceled like entire broadcasts or not entire radio stations.
They
like
took
this.
Off radios. They took off radio stations in Vancouver. They took off radio stations in Vancouver, Winnipeg, just took them off. Took them off Jesus. With no notice whatsoever. And I have no idea how you as a human being, not only did they do that, they took off on-air talent, Toronto on-air talent that has been with them for over a decade. Not only just Dan O'Toole, they fired Natasha Stanishevsky, who's been there for for at least a decade, and also Christian Jack, who's been on their soccer panel for at least a decade as well. And yeah. just out of the blue, nothing. They just fire them. They just fire them. Yeah. And I'm dumbfounded, absolutely dumbfounded as to how the hell they could just do that to people. Like,
and
I understand COVID. Like, I'm not obvious. Oh, not even TSN. They're cutting CTV workers, CTV like writers, CTV yeah. the camera workers. So many people.
Yeah,
they're throwing them out.
But like, I understand. Like, I don't under like it's COVID. I understand. Like, did they? I don't understand how they we don't run the company. That's the thing. Like, we don't know what the behind the scenes is happening. But it's also like, I haven't heard of Sportsnet firing people. Like, everyone's on their phones now. Everyone needs more content, and them firing like people is like. Media companies recently haven't been firing because they've just been they've had enough work to cover up, like to cover their costs and everything, because people are just sitting at home and people need more content. And this thing with the whole Bell Let's Talk kind of just like, it's basically showing the middle finger to everyone that retweeted that and being like, we don't really care about Bell Let's Talk, because
but if you didn't think that they actually cared about mental health, then you were right. And I was completely wrong for so long. This year especially is probably one of the most important days. Was one of the most important days. I encourage everyone to get help, whether it's, you know, it's through whatever way. And I seriously thought that Bell thought the same way. And this clearly just shows that they did not yeah. care. They did not care about the program that they made themselves that helped out people with mental health issues and helping out people's mental health just in general. And yeah. they, a week after this, laid off 280 staff members at both TSN and CTV and many other Bell. So here it is. Bell workers says a total of 210 employees in Toronto are being laid off, with most of the notification taking place Tuesday. About 100 of the employees are union members and are connected to Toronto Television. So this is just in Toronto. There's yeah. only so. Just in Toronto, it was 210 employees. And then including everything, I think it was like 280 to 290. And they laid off Hamilton station, like a full Hamilton station, a full Winnipeg station, and a full Vancouver station. So 100 of the employees are union and connected to Toronto Television newsrooms, while the non-union staff include administration and sales staff, said Howard Law Media Section Director for uniform on Tuesday. Like, someone said a quote, they're laying off camera operators, which has to mean less news coverage unless they expect everyone else to work twice as hard,
which they won't, like, because firing 100 or 250 people or whatever does not boost morale and make people want to work harder.
It's going to make everyone just being like, so am I next?
Exactly. And like, without giving any notice, if you're going to fire someone, give them at least a 2-week notice so that they could have enough time to go find and do something else.
Don't even get me started on the fact that they fired all these people, long serving Bell employees for over 10 years. And then just out of nowhere, they decided to fire them.
Yeah. Like that's just out of nowhere, without any reasoning, without any notice of what.
I'm not saying. I'm saying the fact that you with no notice just fired all of these long serving members of your Bell community and of your Bell workforce. Sorry, that shows no spine to you and no humanity to you.
Yeah, so I don't know what and we can do. It's really disappointing to see that they did that. They're kind of pieces of shit for doing that. I don't know what we could do to help those people. Like, we just have to start, like, I don't know, start our own media company. But it's going to be interesting to see how everything kind of plays out. Hopefully this is the last time they fire this much people. And depending how like the rest of the year goes,
like this is a real notion that job security, I'm sorry, it doesn't exist. There really is nothing, no such thing.
You have to be self-employed.
Job security in any field.
Yeah. You have to be self-employed if you want job security.
Unless you're up. You got job security.
Yes, but we're not getting paid for this. So we need to blow up and then we have job security. No, we need a couple of sponsors. That's all we need. Yeah, it's.
I wish all these people well. I wish all these people well because they're amazing broadcasters and just amazing. And what I've heard, just great, great people themselves.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good point to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, guys. Check us out on Spotify Music. Please share, and we'll see you guys next week.